or probably one of the more familiar verses in Philippians 4, verse 13, is not where I'll be preaching from this morning, but I would dare say all of the book of Philippians is a very encouraging book. This morning I want to read beginning of verse 1 down through verse 8, and I've titled the message, Think About It. In 1980, the Blues Brothers came out with the song, You Better Think. No, I'm not going to sing that this morning. And no, you're not going to play it, Bobby, so don't start with me back there. Our thought lives. In Philippians, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. He begins here in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Paul's encouraging the church. He's trying to help them out, saying they're doing okay. They're doing good. Stay at it. Maybe this morning you feel like you're doing okay. I'm here to tell you to stay at it. Maybe you don't feel like you're doing so great. Perhaps one of the things that we'll be talking about might help you to understand that you can get back into it. And you can stay at it. Be steadfast and stand fast. In verse 2 he says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, he begins with the word, finally. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul is reminding the church at Philippi that there's some things that we really need to take our time and think about. If you have a pen or if you mark in your Bibles, I would encourage you to underline each of those words that Paul says that we're to think about in verse 8. The word true, the word honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, and praise. Eight things, and I'm going to try and get through these. But I want to talk about these things this morning. To think is to direct one's mind towards someone or something. It's a natural occurrence that we all participate in daily. We all think about things. Often, we think about things so much, and we've been so accustomed to doing them, that our thoughts really don't go very deep. right? When you're putting on your socks, you really don't think about it too much, do you? Covering your feet. You just put your socks on. How many of you thought whether or not to put your left sock on first or your right sock on first? You're just accustomed to doing it, right? You don't really think about it, but you're thinking about it because you're doing it. It's just kind of going on in the back of your mind. See, we think about things from the mundane to the meaningful. And our minds are constantly hopping from thought to thought. And sometimes our thoughts are interrupted. Sometimes our thoughts are jolted by certain news. Sometimes our thoughts are lulled. Perhaps listening to some music. And though we may be thinking, we're not really thinking about a whole lot. But again, Paul's instruction, God's word, his instruction to us is to think on these things. In other words, to take some time to really meditate and think about. The Bible's very clear who we think about and what we think about. Very important. There are all kinds of things that seek to get our attention, to get us to think about those things, to get us to think about those individuals. Whether it's from television or different kinds of media to advertising on the roadway, to radio, to relatives, to friends. There are all kinds of things that our minds can think about. What we think about and how we think about those things are important to God. Paul says, if we're going to stand fast in the Lord, if we're going to continue to do what's right before God, finally, we got to remember to think about some things. The first thing he says is, whatsoever things are true. Now, if I was to throw the question out there, and to have you tell me something that's true, right? We could all think of something that's true. I put on socks today, right? I don't know why I'm on socks this morning. I don't need socks. If any of you are wondering, I'm fine. I don't know where it came from. It just seemed to fit. You could all tell me something that's true, right? All of us could. We could say something that's true. But that's not exactly what Paul's saying. If I tell you I put on socks today, is that really going to help you? Knowing that truth? If you think about the fact that you put on socks today, is that going to help you knowing that truth? Not really going to help you. So why does Paul say whatsoever things are true that we're to think about? Well, it's not just truth, not random truths, if you will, but righteous truths. Paul's not telling the church at Philippi to think about the sky being blue or the grass being green. These things are true. Paul is saying to think about truths that have righteous meaning to them. John 14:6, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if we think about that truth, that no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus, that has a little more meaning to it. That's a truth that we need to think about. Because if no man cometh unto the Father by Jesus Christ, affects us. That not only affects our thinking, it affects our communication with others. It's not just thinking about truths that water is wet and stars are shiny. Philippians chapter 2, if you want to turn back a couple of chapters, verse 5 and verses 9 through 11, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Skip down to verse 9. It says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." If you back up into chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." You know what I'm telling you this morning? I'm telling you some truths. You know what Paul is reminding the church at Philippi? That they need to think on these truths. See, so often we go through life every day and there are truths circulating in our minds. But do we really think about things that are true? That have a righteousness to them? God's word is true. When we think about his truth, the blessings that we receive from him, our lives are affected. We're able to stand fast and to continue on. Think on righteous truths. The second thing that he says in verse 8 is, whatsoever things are honest. Now you might be thinking, like most people, that's the same thing as true. Honest and true, they're the same thing. Did you know, or if you thought about it, a statement can be true and still dishonest? Mom comes home. There was a dozen cookies in the cookie jar. Now there's none. She asks Junior, "Did you eat any cookies?" "Mom, I did not eat one cookie." True statement. Dishonest. Right? Honest means free from deceit. See, people will tell you things that are true, but they're not honest. When we're honest, we're free from deceit. Officers used to, and they've kind of quit the practice, but whenever they would stop somebody, often they used to ask, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" Now, they know why they pulled you over. What they're looking for is your honesty. "I have no idea, officer. Were you bored and you just needed somebody to talk to? I don't know what I was doing, going kind of fast in that slow spot back there." Are you being honest? See, they know most people aren't going to be honest. They've kind of quit the practice. When we think about things that are honest, what that means is thinking of things that are true in Scripture that relate to our lives, and then being responsible and honest about those things. See, because here's what happens on Sunday. The preacher gets up and he says, "This is God's truth." And like in Mark 4, the seed is cast. But also like in Mark 4, the devil's there. And he says, yeah, that's true, but that's not true about you. Don't you worry about it. And the Bible says we deceive ourselves. We're not honest. See, and by the way, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit through God's word. When something hits you right in the chest and says, that's what we're talking about. That's what needs to be dealt with. That's what you need to get right. That's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. But the devil's right there also, and he's saying, that's not you. You don't need to worry about that. He's being dishonest. And he's trying to get you to be dishonest with the Word of God. Paul says, don't do that. Whatsoever things are honest. That means if it pertains to you, just be honest. Say, yeah, that's me. It's interesting watching my boys play sports. Anybody ever play basketball growing up? I love basketball. It's great. It's a fun sport. But something's never changed, even from when I was playing. When somebody commits a foul and the ref blows the whistle, something that's never changed is they say, yeah, it was me, I did it. They're always like, what? What? Yeah, it applies to you. They're pointing at you for a reason. You're the one that committed the infraction. Now, some coaches train their players to raise their hand. But even when they do that, you see them go. Are they being honest? Of course not. But when the truth applies to you, when the truth relates to you, just be honest. Be free from deceit. Because when the Bible speaks truth to our lives, what God is looking for is us to be honest in our confession. We can start with the Ten Commandments. We could follow on in Scripture and learn to think in an honest fashion. When God's Word speaks truth into our hearts and into our lives, just be honest. Whatsoever things are honest, free from deceit. The third thing that Paul says to think about is whatsoever things are just. It's not thinking of things that are judged, but of things that are just. What that means is there is a value that is indicated because something is worth redeeming. It's just. The book of Proverbs has much to say about being just. If you want to practice thinking about things that are just, read through the book of Proverbs. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That verse could also read, if we are honest and confess our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why is the Lord just? Does that mean that we're not judge worthy? No, it means he saw something worth redeeming. And by the way, that doesn't mean that we're special. It means that we're his creation. And he wants us to be more like him. We're worth it because we're his. We're not worth it because of who we are. Things that are just. What that means is that he is just. As we think of things that are just, it should reflect how we live Because if we have put our faith in him, we are redeemed. His redemption makes us just. And at least three times in the New Testament, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. In order to think of things that are just, we must live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Those are the places you can find where it says, the just shall live by faith. Whatsoever things are just, it ought to affect how we live. Knowing that we're worth redeeming because of him. Again, it all goes back to Christ. It's all about the Lord. The next thing that Paul lists here in verse 8, he says, whatsoever things are pure. It is the idea of those things that have been washed and been made new, or that which has been renewed, that which is pure. John chapter 15, verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The pure word of God, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. God's word is pure. Do we think about God's word? Titus chapter 1, verse 15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. The reason that unto the pure all things are pure is because their mind is the mind of God. What did Paul say in chapter 2? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's not that everything in the world is pure. It's that when those that have the mind of God see it, they know whether it's pure or not. And if it's not pure, guess what Paul says? Don't think about it. Don't give it any thought. If Eve had looked at Satan and said, what you're saying's not pure, she would have walked away. She would have said, this isn't something I need to hear. This isn't something I need to be around. That's what unto the pure all things are pure means. Doesn't mean that everything is pure. It means there's a recognition that what God has done and what God is doing, we can see and know whether or not it's pure. And that's what we're to think about. Hebrews chapter 9, if you would, go ahead and turn there with me, or if it's up on the screen, you can follow along there. In Hebrews chapter 9, I want to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible kind of clarifies it even more for us in this chapter. It says, then verily, verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 9, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What's it saying? Christ was pure. He sacrificed. He offered himself up. Why? Right there at the end of verse 14. To purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. When we think about things that are pure, when we get our minds on Christ, we know what's pure. We know what's right. And we ought to stay away if it's not right. We ought to stay away if it's not pure. That's what Paul's telling the church at Philippi. Whatsoever things are pure. If you've been saved by the blood of Christ, if you've been redeemed, be honest. Think about things that are pure. Give your thoughts to those things. Back in Philippians chapter 4, the next thing he lists is whatsoever things are lovely. This is one of my favorite. What Paul is saying here is to think on things that are lovely means to reflect on God's creation. In Song of Solomon, if you will, chapter 5, verses 10 through 16, I won't take the time to read all of it. The maiden is describing her beloved in a dream. In verse 16, she calls him lovely. By the way, read the Song of Solomon. We got Valentine's Day coming up. Read the Song of Solomon. That's some good stuff. Read it together as a couple. What is she saying? She's saying that God's creation in the form of her lover is lovely. You know what? God's created many things that are lovely. Back in Genesis chapter 1, in creation, what did he say? He said, this is good. And that creation that he made is still around today. We see it in the sunset. We see it in the sunrise. We see it in the beauty of the snow. We see it all around us. There's so much that we are blessed to be able to see and hear and feel. And it is lovely. And it does include our spouses. It does include our children. It does include our friends. It is a reflection on God's creation, including those around us. Whatsoever things are lovely. Are we grateful? Do we think about those things that are lovely? Reflect on those things. Think on those things. The next thing that Paul lists in verse 8 is whatsoever things are of good report. Good report means to think of things that are worth rejoicing about. First of all, I had to write this as I was preparing the message. When I got to this part, good report. I don't know about you. The first thought that came to my mind was school. Right? Report cards. Good reports. Not so good reports. There was one teacher who was instructing her very young class on all the different types of colors and what they were called. Red, green, blue, orange, brown, on and on. She noticed one of her students who often had particular struggles concentrating. And this student, she could tell, was beginning to daydream. She called out Billy. She said, "Billy, what's your favorite color?" Billy turned and said, "Ice cream." Me and Billy got a lot in common. Ice cream's my favorite color. And Billy probably got the kind of report I got several times heading home. Whatsoever things are of good report, what do we rejoice over? What puts a smile on our face? What makes us think about how good God is to us? A good report can be a past, a present, or even a future blessing. Whatever it is that causes us to rejoice and to share in the joy of knowing, that's a good report. Perhaps it's a new birth. Perhaps it's an upcoming reunion, a promotion, or even a letter of acceptance. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." A good report is that which makes us rejoice. That which makes us know that we're blessed by God. That which we can share with others and spread that joy. That's a good report. As Paul continues in verse 8, he says, "If there be any virtue." Now that word virtue holds the idea of rectitude or uprightness. It means a moral behavior or a high moral behavior. That is defined as virtue. And the less that we see of virtue, the more that we should point it out when we do see it and be willing to promote it so that others know what it is that we desire to think about. There are lots of things that are not highly moral, that are not of any virtue. That's not what we're to think about. Paul says, if there be any virtue, that which is highly moral. It's interesting, in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? You know what the world needs today? Virtuous women. You know what the world needs? Virtuous men. Highly moral. Now again, it was great. Eric and I didn't have a single conversation this week. I promise you, if you were in Sunday school, you're thinking, these guys teamed up. We didn't. He was talking about poisoning minds. The devil wants to poison our minds. Paul's very clear. There are things that we need to think about. And by the way, if the question, who can find a virtuous woman, was being asked 2,000 plus years ago, how much more should we desire to have virtue in our lives today? Nothing's changed. In fact, we know it's probably gotten a little bit worse. If they're looking for a virtuous woman back then, Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? The virtuous love of Christ was displayed. Not giving us the wrath of God that we deserve, but giving us what we need, which is his love and forgiveness. That's virtue worth thinking about. He's highly moral. He is virtuous. And the more we think about him, the more we desire to follow after him, the more virtue will show up in our lives. The last thing that Paul mentions in Philippians 4, verse 8, says, if there be any praise. We all know what praise is. Praise is recognition. Praise is who is worthy. And by the way, who is the one who is worthy of all praise? And how often do we think about all that he is praiseworthy of? If there be any praise, think on these things. By the way, you don't have to have a degree from any college or even high school for that matter. You don't have to be even in high school to have the talent or the ability to praise. You can be a male or a female. And there's only two, by the way, I'm just throwing that in there. You can be young or old. You can be educated or uneducated. You can be rich or poor. Everybody has the talent and the ability to praise. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't remember when I got into the habit, and I don't remember why I got into the habit. And I'm not patting myself on the back, I'm just sharing with you something. And if you get into the habit, great. Whenever I get into a vehicle, before I drive somewhere, I bow my head and I ask God to give safety in the travel. And sometimes I pray for other things that are on my heart at that moment. And I thank God for the vehicle that I'm about to travel in. Now, I have been in accidents. I have gotten pulled over. And yes, I've gotten tickets. But I'm still here. You know what I try to do is I try to give God praise. You know why? Because riding in a vehicle is a lot better than walking. I've learned that too. Or hitchhiking. Which is walking with your thumb out, by the way. Do we have things that we can praise God for? Do we think about those things? Do we take time to stop and give God praise? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Guess what? Everybody has the ability. Everybody has the talent to give praise. And by the way, we should praise others also. Good job. Nice work. Man, you're doing fantastic. Awesome. Glad to hear. It's okay to give others praise. In fact, and this is what we've been working on Wednesday nights, In Galatians 6:9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. You know how you don't get weary? First of all, by thinking about these things. But second of all, by somebody else just being an encouragement. See, you might not think you're doing so great, but in somebody else's eyes, you're doing awesome because they're not doing as good as you're doing. And that doesn't mean that you need to get a big head. But what it means is we don't need to be weary in well-doing. If we're trying to serve God, and we all are, I believe, maybe we fall short. Maybe we stumble. Maybe we make mistakes. And somebody comes along and praises us. And we think, man, what are they talking about? Well, it's well doing. We're trying to serve God. If we fail at trying to serve God, well, I tell you, I'd rather fail at that than some of the things I have failed at. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Praise others. Praise God, yes, and praise others. If there be any praise, think on these things. What's some way that you can take one of these thoughts and apply them in your life? Even just one. And then maybe the next day or maybe the next week, maybe two. There's eight of them. But I promise you, because Paul said, because God's word said, finally, when we develop the habit, when we get our minds right, when we think on these things, we can stand fast. We can continue. We can grow. We can help others. We can point others to Christ. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Concerning you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer as we consider the things that we should think about. Do you think about righteous truths? Do you think about the fact that Jesus loves you? That he gave his life on Calvary? That he wants you to be in heaven with him? Do you think about the truth in God's word? And are you honest? Are you free from deceit? Are you able to say, yep, that's me. I committed that infraction. My hands up. Whatsoever things are honest. That means if it applies to you, and the Holy Spirit's convicting you, be honest. It's okay. None of us are perfect. Whatsoever things are honest. Because the next thing is, whatsoever things are just. It's not that we stand in judgment, it's that we stand justified, redeemed, because of Christ. Thank God that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're redeemed. Things that are pure. Things that are lovely. Of good report. Of virtue. And praise. Is the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart today? Have you got some stinking thinking going on? Is God wanting you to change your thought life and to get your mind right to think on these things? Perhaps you felt shaken in your walk with God. Paul says you can stand fast. But we need the right kind of thinking. Perhaps you've never put your faith in Christ. Perhaps you've never thought about Jesus as your own Lord and personal Savior. His truth remains the same. The Bible says yesterday, today, and forever. He'll save you. If you put your faith and trust in Him, if you call out to Him, asking Him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Be honest. What's your need today? If you need to be saved, we'll take the Bible. We'll show you how you can know for sure that heaven is your home. If you need right thinking, be honest before God. Say, Lord, my thoughts get so stressed out. There's so many things that pile up on my mind. And it's easy to forget. It's easy to wander in my thought life. Bring me back to where I need to be, to think on these things. Just give me one thing, God. Help me to focus on one thing and to think on that. And then I can add to it. What's your need this morning? In just a moment, we'll give an invitation. We'll sing a hymn of invitation. The altar is here. It's up to you. You do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. But if there's a need in your heart and in your life, God will meet that need. He'll meet you right where you're at. No matter what it is, He wants you to have the right thinking. We need the right kind of thinking. May we yield our lives, our hearts, and our minds unto Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for its power to change our lives, to help us in this world. And Lord, it's easy to think on things that we shouldn't think about. Help us to practice, Lord, to allow ourselves to think on these things, to be reminded of how good You are to us, to let Your Spirit fill our minds with the right kind of thoughts. Lord, You know the hearts that are here this morning. You know each need. I pray You'd bless now during the invitation. And help us to surrender and submit to Your leading. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll stand and sing 639 as our hymn of invitation. Again,